SD Motorsports on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
This is the San Diego Motorsports Show on AM 1170, The Answer. If it's a car, motorcycle, boat, or anything else with an engine in San Diego, it's on the San Diego Motorsports Show. Now, here's your host, Dave Stahl.
All right. Hey, welcome. This is SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ AM 1170. Hey, before we get going, San Diego Auto Repair Care.com, which is a NAPA program with certain repair shops all over San Diego County. They're in the process of trying to hook up with Cars for a Cause, and they're going to give away a vehicle. It's a Saturn minivan, a 2005, between October 1st and November 30th. All you need to do is nominate a deserving family or individual to win a vehicle, and all you have to do is apply to the or fill out the official entry form. San Diego Auto Repair Care.com will get it to you. Or you can look to San Diego Auto Repair Care and get a hold of a store near you. Go in, and you can be part of helping a family get themselves a perfectly reconditioned new vehicle. So I highly, highly, highly recommend you do that. All right. Hey, this segment is brought to you by the good folks at El Cajon Ford, where nobody, absolutely nobody, treats you better. El Cajon Ford, located down off Greenfield in Maine in El Cajon, 7 days a week. Take care of all your new and used car needs. Just take a run down there, and when you do, make sure you tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ. All right, hey, we've got a special guest on the line. We've got Zach Kortz. How you doing, Zach? Oh, it's Ari. Oh, I thought I... Oh, okay, I've got Zach down here, so you must be the fill-in, huh?
Yeah, sure. We could say that.
Okay, that sounds good. So we're going to talk about, this came from Drew Milford, and he was talking about the motorcycle event that you're involved with, the motorcycle of the year. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure thing. Well, Zach and I are both on staff at Motorcycles Magazine, which is the world's oldest motorcycle magazine. We're 104. And for the last couple decades, every year we nominate a single motorcycle. We call it out for specific reasons, and basically build an entire issue of the magazine around that concept. And for 2016, it was Triumph's new Street Twin.
Mm, very nice choice. What was the competition like? Because it's pretty tough now.
The competition has been stiff, yes. Since the economy's been bouncing back a little bit, all the manufacturers are kind of poking their head out of their shells and starting to build new bikes and invest the money again. So there's been a lot of incredible new products on the market. But that Triumph in particular stood out because it was a motorcycle. The one that it's replacing, the Bonneville, was Triumph's best-selling and most popular model. So to take a bike like that and to totally redesign it is hugely risky, in terms of public opinion and in terms of profitability. But they were very successful. They did a tremendous job, and they ended up with a really wonderful motorcycle.
Why did they not call it a Bonneville?
The family is called Bonneville, so they've got several models.
Oh, gotcha.
The Street Twin is the smallest and the most affordable, and that's the one that we called out specifically. But they've also got larger displacement 1200cc model that's a Thruxton and a Thruxton R. So it's basically a whole family of classic-looking bikes. They call them modern retros.
Yeah. And Triumph is really big on that. I mean, I think they were getting into that even before anybody else was doing it. I mean, they were coming out with some bikes that were retroed back to the 60s and 70s.
And it's always sort of been their style, but they kind of revitalized that before it was popular, and now it is hugely popular. So they've been ahead of the curve for a while. Yeah.
Well, I mean, really, if I told you, all right, Ari, let's go build a brand that's been around forever and let's make it better. Well, the last thing you want to do is do too much to a brand to where the consumer looks at it and says, well, I'm not interested in that. That doesn't look like the brand that I'm used to having. So, yeah, risky move, but I think it was absolutely the right direction. Who was in competition with that bike at that low level?
I mean, there's other motorcycles that are in that same vein, that kind of modern retro look. Moto Guzzi's got some bikes like that.
Okay.
Harley's got some bikes like that. There's several.
What about the Indians?
Kind of
did the Indian Scout, was that close to this bike? Was it in the same category?
We would consider that more of a cruiser,
okay.
But it's
right.
in the same kind of family of bikes. Usually people are going to be cross-shopping those two motorcycles because right. they are similar in style.
Are you not impressed with the Indian's success so far?
No, I am. I think they've been doing a great job.
Yeah.
Their competition, obviously, is Harley, and Harley sticks to tradition pretty thoroughly. Indian has the traditional look, but they're very willing to invest in new technology and make their motorcycles perform and behave the way you expect a modern bike to. So they've done a good job of combining old and new.
And you got to hand it to Polaris. I mean, let's face it. How many times have we tried to bring out the new Indian? And I mean, I know. I mean, the second one? I can't remember if it was the second. I think it was the second one. I said, please, I am not putting this on TV. All I've got to hang out is my reputation, and this isn't going to do it. So, I mean, let's face it. In the media world, you know, we didn't have a lot of enthusiasm, you know, even when Polaris said they're going to fix it. Yeah, right. But let me tell you, I think they stepped to the plate and did exactly what they said that they would do. But I don't think there's any bad motorcycles on the market today. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, there's motorcycles that aren't necessarily a great buy when you compare them to other options.
Well, true.
Yeah, there's no bikes that are going to leave you stranded,
right.
and no bikes that are going to, you know, catch on fire or blow up or do anything horrendous. And nothing really leaks oil anymore, so that's kind of a thing of the past.
Hey, let's talk about your Discovery show, On Two Wheels. When does that air?
On Two Wheels is actually a web show. We put that on YouTube, and we just had a new episode go up yesterday.
Okay.
We have done a pilot for Discovery called Biketacular. Both Zach and I were referenced as experts in the field when they were lining up the 20 most exciting bikes of all time. So
good.
They kind of interviewed us and used a few snippets of our conversation for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and let's face it, you know, if you're an enthusiast, you got to find a place to go. And so how would they, so just go to YouTube and then just put in what, on two wheels? I'm old.
On Two Wheels, yeah. It's also hosted on MotorcyclistOnline.com, which is our amazing website. But YouTube is the place where you can comment and make suggestions about future shows. And it's something we really enjoy doing. It's kind of a labor of love. It's
sure.
not our full-time job is the magazine. So we do the video basically in our free time.
Right. Let's talk about the magazine. Now, the magazine's been out since Dirt. Okay, so we know that even before motorcycles were motorcycles. And for people, you know, I'm sure you can subscribe to it. Can you get it online as well? That's for the younger generation.
Yeah, you can. Yep, you can get it online. We've got a pretty comprehensive website that's got much of the same content on there.
All right.
So we've been around since 1912, so we celebrated our centennial in 2012. And it's been a long road. We've covered a lot of ground in that time.
Yeah, a lot of motorcycles, a lot of good, a lot of bad, a lot of ugly. You know, it's like the car business. You know, I always talk to journalists, you know, that used to, you know, road test cars in the 70s. Are you kidding me? Was there a tow truck that went with that car?
I mean,
Hyundai XL, please. Are you serious? Give me a break. Yeah, it's all good.
Yeah,
it's
the job's good. The job's gotten a little bit more difficult because it's like splitting hairs these days. Because like you pointed out, they really are just building a lot of tremendous bikes. So it's kind of hard to find true faults with any of them.
Well, it's really now, wouldn't you say, it's almost what fits you? You know, I mean, to give you an example, you know, when the Can-Am Spyder came out, you know, the true enthusiast said, are you serious? You know, but okay, they fixed it. You know, they cut the seat out to where you don't slide off. I used to tell everybody, if you really want to make a Can-Am Spyder guy mad, armor all his seat. You know, and he'd hate you forever. And then you've got bikes like the Slingshot. Are you kidding me? But it's a blast to drive. Dude, it's a blast. And it's a, you know what's funny about that? Because, you know, helmet, no helmet. But if you don't wear a helmet on that thing, you'll hate it. You'll hear the gear drive coming out of the belt. You won't be able to talk to your passenger. Stick your helmet on, and it's beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. See,
yeah,
we could
definitely something to be said for that.
Yeah. I've only got 3 hours of radio. I mean, if I could buy more, because, see, I would love to do a motorcycle show, just exactly what we're talking about. Because, you know, let's face it, and there's so many people coming up getting on bikes, and they need good advice not to go get something that'll kill them first time out. You know, you got to start low, 400, 500, 600 cc, and work your way up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of smaller bikes available now, but there's still a lot of people making the mistake of jumping on a 160 horsepower motorcycle as their first go.
Yeah. Got to quit watching TV. All right, buddy. Hey, yeah. Thank you very, very much for taking time out of your Sunday. I truly appreciate it. I'm sure I'll be bugging you guys later on down the road, see if we can't keep spreading the word.
All right, Dave, anytime. Appreciate it.
All right, you take care. All right, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, more right here on KCBQ AM 1170. This is SD Motorsports. We'll be right back.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ AM 1170. This segment is brought to you by Barona. Barona Circle Track, located right off Highway 67, Wildcat Canyon Road, to be exact, 4 miles north of the casino. The season is winding down. I don't know. I don't think Dirt Dude's calling in today because there wasn't anything going on last night. But Ms. Sandoval might be calling in. She just texted me and was giving me some filler, which I might as well use her fillers in case she doesn't call. All right. I'm not going to get you in trouble with Dirt Dude. Since Dirt Dude has not called in, but since here's some quick filler. Yeah, just Brittany, just call in. It's perfectly okay. It's not a problem. Dirt Dude will not be mad. I think he's watching the Charger game, and I think, I don't know what the Chargers are doing, but I'm sure he's watching the Charger game. But what's going on is if, here we go. This way I don't have to try to garble through it. This will be our little friend, Brittany. We'll go ahead and just put her on if she is there. And this is Brittany Sandoval. Let's go ahead and click away. How you doing, kid?
Are you there? Hi.
Hi. You're not going to make Dirt. Hey, you're not going to make Dirt Dude mad because don't worry about it. You know, he's not called. See, if he hasn't called in by now, he's probably watching the Charger game.
Oh, yeah. So, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So talk to me. What was this about?
Oh, yeah. I just shot you the text about this Saturday for a spectator is a day to come. Actually, both races in October. Dirt Dude was talking about the figure eight, I believe, on October 22nd.
Uh-huh.
But this first, October 8th, the dwarf cars are running an open comp, basically run what you brung.
Really?
And if it's anything, sorry?
I say really.
Oh, yeah. And if it's anything like last year, it was so fun to be in the pit. So the first guy opens the trailer. And it was Darren Brent, number 99, and he pulls out his car, and there are wings going in every direction. Man, I swear, this car was 10 feet high. And then the next guy comes and pulls out his car. Oh, my gosh, more wings. And then the next guy comes. It was hilarious what these guys did to their cars. And not only was it a sight in the pit, they were going even faster on the track. I think they shed, like, 2 more seconds on that quarter-mile track.
No.
So it was a really fun night of racing, but even practice the night before was fun. And I just saw that Judy posted there's practice this Friday, which is $10 gets you into the pit, and it's just fun to watch these guys trying out their modifications.
Yeah, getting ready for Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think one of the modifications put too much on a motor and he just blew it up right there on Friday night.
Well, don't you try to get to that ragged edge without blowing up?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if you're not pushing, you're not trying. It's just that simple.
Yeah, you get to it. Absolutely. He just kind of went over it. But lucky for him, he had a second car.
Yeah. Are you going to be trying anything new this coming Friday?
I'm actually going to be trying something new the following weekend. So I'm going to actually just be a spectator this coming weekend because the boys of Barona have talked me into traveling out of town. So I'm going to be getting ready for that. I'm
going
to race on a different track. I'm going to go up to Santa Maria on the 15th of October.
Oh.
Yeah. I've got a ride for my car and everything. They've really talked me into this. They said, we'll take your car. We already know the hotel we're staying at. These are the directions. And so they finally talked me into it. I had to wrap my brain around that one, a whole new track.
Is this like a ride and drive? You know, like as if you were Danica Patrick. I mean, you just show up, get in your uniform, crawl into your car, sign all the autograph cards, and get all your pictures taken, be interviewed by the track promoter, get in the car, win the race, get the trophy, spray somebody with champagne, get back in the limo, go back to the Learjet, and back home. Is this what you're telling me?
And then I wake up.
Well, I got a sneaky feeling. See, but I don't think you're going to be working on the car. I think this is going to be real close. You may not get the Learjet, okay? But I got a feeling you're going to really, really enjoy this. And are you intimidated by Santa Maria, or do you know anything about it? Have you even gone to see?
I know nothing about it. So maybe there's a little bit of the, you know, the fear of the unknown, but that's what I crave. That's what got me into this in the first place.
Yeah. What size track is Santa Maria? What size is that? Do you know what size track it is compared to Barona?
It's a little bit, so they have this cool snapshot I found, and it is like maybe 8 different tracks, and it has them all imposed on top of each other.
Oh.
And so I was looking at it, and it looks like it's a tad bigger than Barona, but not like a Paris.
Okay,
much bigger. So I can run the same gears.
Oh, okay.
That's what the boys have already done. They've already been sending me text messages on setup, and they're all excited. They're really supportive. I did watch a little bit of YouTube videos. It looks pretty rough, and that's what I heard. It's kind of a rough and dry track, but I'm cool with that because I practice at Barona every chance I have, and it's usually dry and rough at practice.
Sure.
So I'm used to it.
Yeah.
But it's just a little bit of the fear of the unknown. Where do I go? What do I do? You know, that stuff.
Well,
but I love it.
Yeah. Now,
that's how you grow.
How many other tracks have you been to besides Barona?
That's it.
You're killing me.
Oh, I'm excited and nervous at the same time.
Well, yeah.
No reason not to try it.
But it's a happy nervous. I mean, it's almost like a Christmas type nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that I have support. I know of at least 5 of us from Barona, and then the dogs, Kyle and Bill Dodd might be going, and Bob, number 57, supporting me, and Ryan, number 91, and I think Isabella's run it a bunch, so it wouldn't surprise me if he was up there. So I think Barona's really going to represent, and I'm going to go along for the ride.
Yeah, well, you know, you might as well. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you got your nose in this. You might as well try. You know, it's not like these tracks are days and days away. I mean,
right.
And just think, if you were doing it by yourself, well, maybe it'd be a little bit different, a little bit more intimidating. You're going to have to deal with hotel. But now you've got somebody that's basically taken you under their wing and said, hey, let's go have some fun.
Absolutely. And I would hope they wouldn't talk me into it if they didn't think I could handle it.
No. So. Well, besides that, I mean, you are a great ambassador for the Dwarf Car program. No. Seriously. You really, really are. That's why I like having you call in. That's why I like having you on air because, you know, you weren't born a racer. You may have been born a racer. You just didn't know you were a racer.
I didn't have the outlet.
Yeah, you didn't. Exactly. Now, here you are. You're a school teacher. You're teaching little kids, and all of a sudden you've got this hair to go dwarf car racing. And, folks, if you haven't done it, it's an e-ticket ride in itself. But now for you to keep expanding, because you're like a role model for your kids, because I know your kids are blown away that you do this. They have to be.
Those who believe me, I think so.
Oh, you still got that crowd. What about the principal? What's the principal say? I never even thought of it.
I had 2 teachers out at my last race last Saturday. The history and the math teacher came. My principal, he knows. He actually rides motorcycles, so he's got a little one of those hairs. But he has said he's going to come watch me. He shakes his head at me. But he knows me well enough. Like, I have to get this out on the weekend so that I can come back Monday through Friday.
And be fresh.
And be, fresh, composed.
Right.
And then they give me that reason to go rage again on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, you know, you race to win. There's no doubt about it. But I think you race to release probably more than you race to win, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And I think that's healthy. I think that's healthy for everybody. Like, anyone who's even thinking of trying it, whether it's any of those divisions, I just hope someone does not tell themselves, first of all, they're too old.
Right.
No one really starts at my age. I don't absolutely don't want anyone to say, well, I'm a girl, you know.
Right.
You know?
No, no, no.
I wasn't born into it, like you said. No. So that's not an excuse either. Yeah.
Well, you and I are on the same page. I didn't get into radio until I was 49. 49. How silly is that? As much as I love it, now I'm doing, what, 4 hours a Sunday.
All right.
I wouldn't turn it down. And it's just like you and motorsports. It's almost not what it is. It's what it is. I mean, I can do this all day long. It doesn't bother me in the least. You could race all weekend long. Wouldn't bother you in the least. But you're right. Until somebody says, come on and try it, you'll never know. And I hate that never know stuff. That's crazy.
Right. Yeah. The never know has held me back. When I was younger, it held me back. And sure. So that's what actually now pushes me forward because right. I regret that so much.
Yeah, and it's a regret, but it's a life learning regret. Just think if it would have been more of a regret if you never got behind the wheel of a race car. Then it would have been a major regret.
Well, I'll tell you, because I think we're like-minded on this, you know, because this is just a conversation between you and me.
Yeah, no one's listening. Don't worry.
My one biggest regret that has since become my motivation is I didn't go into the Navy because of the fear of the unknown. And I regretted that. I have regretted that so much since I recognized what I missed out on, that is my number one motivator, that
sure.
I won't let the fear of the unknown be a reason to not try something.
And you share that.
I regret that.
And you have to share that with others because they are in the same boat you're in. I mean, their fears, they're no different than your fears. It's just, is somebody strong enough to face your fears and say, look, I didn't face mine, and here's where I'm at. You need to face yours. You need to face, because there's no fear. I mean, there's no fear. It's just, it's change, and nobody likes change.
Yeah, change can be scary. So, you know, then I learned you read about it, you ask about it, you study, you watch videos, you try it, you know.
Right.
And that's how I have done everything since I realized that was a very powerful regret.
Yeah.
That just going into college, and I really wish I had joined the Navy.
But so that's okay. You're still a better person for this today, because you learn from your errors, if you want to call that an error. I don't think it's an error. I think it was just a choice that
you went. Yeah.
You went left. You didn't go right. That's just like this really, really good friend of mine worked with this guy in Chicago and worked for a magazine. And the magazine decided they were going to move to New York. And Jim, my friend who worked in Chicago, had a little cube mate, you know, the guy that worked with him, hated the guy. Mm-hmm. He says it was a pain in the butt. So they go to the meeting. They all want to go to New York. So Jim says, well, I'm going to New York. And this guy says, well, I'm not going to New York. I'm staying in Chicago. And he says, I really like the kind of writing you do, Jim. Why don't you stay in Chicago with me? And Jim, under his breath, said, there is no way I would ever stay with you. So Jim went with McCall to New York, and Hugh Hefner stayed in Chicago. With that, I will let you go, my dear. Thank you very much for calling in, and I look forward to talking to you down the road, all right?
Sounds good. Everyone get out there Friday and Saturday. It's going to be a show.
We can't wait. All right, kiddo. Folks, we're going to take a small break. When we come back, we got more right here on SD Motorsports, KCBQ AM 1170. We are The Answer.
AM 1170, The Answer. And AM 1170, TheAnswer.com.
Folks, hey, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports right here on KCBQ AM 1170. This segment's brought to you by Paris Auto Speedway. I'm telling you, folks, if you've never been to Paris Auto Speedway, you need to put that on your list of things to do. Just go to ParisAutoSpeedway.com, ParisAutoSpeedway.com, and check it out. All right, hey, we got another special guest on the line. I was up at Paris a while back, and I ran into Richard McCormick. Richard, how you doing today?
Good. Everything's good. How you doing, Dave?
Well, you know, just kicking back, enjoying radio, just having myself a gay old time. And where do you race out of? Where's your home base?
I'm out of Aquadosi, California, which is up in kind of Santa Clarita area.
Yeah.
LA.
Yeah. So how many times you been down to Paris?
I've been going there the last couple of years running the senior stuff because Steve Luport, great car owner, I get to drive a sprint car, and that's what he likes to do. So that's where we've been doing it.
Interesting. Now, I understand you're also, or are you still, or were a Hollywood stuntman?
Yeah. not doing as much as I used to, but yeah, but it's been a long time thing.
Just don't bounce back, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, it's so funny, too, because that's something I always wanted to do. I must have rolled and tore up more vehicles when I was a kid, but never thought about being a stuntman. I think, well, of course, now I'm probably wishing, I'm glad I didn't, because I'm at least in one piece.
It's a tough business, and you make a little bit of money doing it, which is the fun part about it.
Yeah, well, you know, anytime you can crash a car. I'll tell you one cute story. We had a 53 Plymouth Savoy wagon, two-door. And it was like, I don't know, 4 feet wide, and the door was 3 feet wide. So I knew I had to get it up to 70. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to go through the doorway of a brick building. And got there, the vehicle, I was doing 70, hit the door, vehicle literally stopped. I had that Dodge emblem on my chest for like 6 months. I never seen anything like it in my life. Because, you know, no seat belts. This was back in the 50s or 60s. Crazy. So what got you? Okay, so you're in the senior sprints. How long you been running the sprints?
Off and on since probably about 25 years. So okay. I started out in the USAC midgets running TQs at Ascot, like Thursday Night Thunder stuff.
Yeah.
And moved up to a midget. And then around 99 or so, the midgets just got too expensive to run on my own dollar.
Sure.
So I started running sprint cars mainly at Ventura.
Mm-hmm.
And did that for a while and went to Paris back in 2003 and won one of the first 360 races there, which was good for a guy named Sean Kaus, another stunt rigger that I know from the industry.
Uh-huh.
And it's been good to me. I drove for a couple different guys, and after winning in my own car, people came up to me and they were asking, "Hey, you want to drive my car?" So
wow.
It worked out well. It saved me a lot of time. I could spend more time with my family, which is, you know, the most important thing, as you know.
Now, so let me ask you, because I get the steering wheel handed to me a lot, you know. I mean, not so much anymore because I don't push it. I just figure I can't afford a dragster. Let me drive it. I can't afford a sprint car. Let me drive it. I can't afford, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Being to the fact that it's not your car, because when I was driving everybody else's stuff, I mean, I'm probably running three quarters. You know, I'm not going to go out there and wad your car up or break it. But when you're an actual driver, because I you know, do you still give it 110% or do you hold back?
It depends on how the car feels. Usually I know if the car feels like I can win the race, it's a first place car, I'll run it like that.
There you
if
go.
It's a second place car or fifth or whatever, and I just run the car conservatively if I know it's not working good, and I know that as soon as I get the first lap I get in it, you know.
Yeah, so. I know, you know, Randy Waitman, I don't know if you know him, driver's number 69. So he let me drive his at Barone, and I said, well, I'll only do it on two conditions, one by myself, and two, if I wad it up, I don't have to pay for it. So I went out and did 10 laps. I came in. He said I did extremely well, you know, and he says, but you weren't really into it. I said, well, how are my times? He said, your times were actually, he says, you weren't deviating more than a second either way. I said, well, there you go. And that's how I look at it. You know, like you said, if there was a trophy at the end or a wad of money at the end, or something at the end that I wanted, then I think I would, you know, move it up a notch or two. But I always wondered how that would be, you know, when you're working for somebody else. Because, you know, if you look at the NASCAR world, they don't care. You can wad up as much as you want to wad up. But, you know, running a senior series, that's just, I think, is a little bit different.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, like I say, I try to drive the car, you know, as hard as I can, safely. And so I don't tear up the owner's equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And I try not to, like his motors, I try to make the motors last. So I'm not on the gap. You know, you can feel, you know, you feel it from the seat, how the car is working. And I know right out if it's going to be good or not.
Right. You know? Yeah. And I think that's why you're still getting phone calls.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? It's good. And like I said, I'm 58 and, you know, I don't know how many more years I'll be able to do this. I still love doing it.
Yeah.
There's just nothing like a sprint car. I really love the midgets. I mean, I really miss the midgets. I'm going to try to get a ride for Turkey Night at Ventura this year.
Ooh.
I'm working on that. If not, we might be running a 360 sprint car that night.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. It's a, you know, it's another month away.
Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's not going to go away. I'm 71 years old, and if you said, Dave, would you like to come up? We have another car you could drive. I'd be there so fast. You know, you'd have to hit me with a fire extinguisher. I'd probably be on fire. So I'm just giving you a heads up, and it doesn't go away. It doesn't. You might think about it differently, but it doesn't go away. It just doesn't.
Yeah, it's basically my blood. My dad was an old desert racer.
Sure.
He hung around at Ascot. He was an CRA official and a USAC official. And I kind of got the bug from there. I raced motocross for 18 years.
Yeah.
And then finally I got to when I was about 30. I started late in the cars because I needed a cage. I needed to be a little bit safer. The motorcycle was just getting a little bit too dangerous. So it was a great transition. It helped a lot, doing a little bit of road racing. And
sure. Oh, are you kidding?
So,
and look at the safety. Look at the safety of today's automobiles, and you know, compared to back in the day. Now, granted, motorcycle safety has not changed one bit as far as the bike goes.
Right, just the riding equipment.
The riding equipment. Well, I talked to DeHommel one time up at Auto Club Speedway. You know, he was pretty dry as toast, and I was trying to get him to laugh or carry out. He wouldn't. He was pretty. It was during race day too, so I don't even know what the heck I was doing interviewing him. So I looked at him and I said, "Hey, have you ever found that device that's on motorcycles?" And he goes, "What's that?" I says, "You know that device that when you crash, it's like a GPS that finds you and then tries to poke holes in you." And he literally started laughing so hard because it's the truth. You ever notice how a motorcycle never goes the other way? It always looks for you to try to find you when you crash.
Yep.
It's the darndest thing. I've had it happen too many times. So now you're going to be running October 15th in the senior sprint. Are you running for points or are you
it happens to be we're 1 point out of first right now. I'm not a points guy.
Right.
I just want to win races. So it's kind of worked its way. You know, the car's gotten better. We figured it out. I've had a good crew chief. Steve Conrad's been helping me out there. We got the car really dialed in really nice. So it's easy for me to drive and get up, keep up front.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. I know it's, like I said, I don't look at the points. I just want to win races, no matter if it's a heat race or the main event, and everything falls into the play after that.
Yeah. See, I totally get you. I totally get you. Now, let me ask you this. When you know you don't have a first place car, see, I would have I've raced a few things, and for whatever reason, if I'm not in the top five, I just lose all the enthusiasm. I just do. You know, when I know I can't get there.
Yeah, but, it's just sometimes, the track changes so much on a dirt track.
True.
I try a different line. I'll go to the top. I'll go to the middle. I'll go to the bottom. I try to drive where no one else is, So I learned that from racing TQs and midgets. It's, and I got to race with some really great drivers. And like Tony Stewart, I worked with him a lot.
Really?
He schooled me on some pavement stuff, which was really good. And we did well at Saugus Speedway, won races there at Saugus in the midgets, the USAC midgets. And it was a great learning tool. So I had some great drivers,
Well, Jay and that's but you were willing to learn, too. You were willing to suck up as much information and knowledge as you possibly could because you knew if you did, you'd be someplace better than you were before.
Absolutely. And like I said, especially from running the midgets, it's such a great driving tool to learn because you have to have a lot of patience, especially when it gets dry slick. You really have to pedal the car like an egg between the throttle and your foot. So it helps in the sprint cars too, and a lot of people don't have the patience.
And you push down, you don't push forward. What the heck is up with that?
Besides the brake, the brake you push forward with. It's kind of different, but it's and you're using a lot of that at Paris. You're using the brake and the throttle, especially on the starts.
Yeah.
You get out front, you don't really need it, so for setting the car up a little bit for the turn.
Yeah. Well, until you dive into that first turn and turn left and then right, you haven't lived. Because that's, it's just like the movie Cars. It makes no sense. But if you don't do it, you'll never get around the turn.
Yeah. And of course, you're sitting so low in the car, you can't see anything but what's in front of you.
Right.
So you feel everything within the seat.
Yeah.
And, it's just, and every, like I say, every lap changes. And when you're going, pretty fast, you're basically kind of in control, but you're out of control. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. I tell everybody it's ballet. It's truly, you guys have the ability to float. It looks like you're floating around the track until somebody touches, and then it's the ugliest thing on the planet. Let me tell you, those cars have no gyros in them. Those things will flip and turn more ways than Sunday. I mean, you know, I mean, look at Damian Gardner. Got, you know, up in the, I don't know if you were there when he got up in the catch fence, way up in the catch fence.
And, and was he was in a good spot to help it get it back down too. So
darn near killed himself. What are you kidding? But that's a racer. Yeah. That's a racer, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's hardcore. He's a little, he needs to soften up a little bit, you know. But that's okay. He's young. He's enthusiastic. I mean, he's, you know, and that gives you guys, well, not you because you're in the senior class, but that gives the other guys somebody to chase.
Yeah, you know, I would run with the regular guys if I had the opportunity.
Sure, you would.
You know, because I ran with those guys before. You know, not these guys now, but years ago. You know, with these guys, a lot of them, you know, and, but it's like, I just, you know, I have the opportunity for Steve Lupoer. He's been good to me.
Yeah.
Last 10 years I've been driving his sprint cars, and, you know, you just don't get that. You know, there's most people out there own their own cars. They foot the bill.
Right.
I get to show up and, you know, and just, and it's, you can't beat that.
Do you remember the sponsors that are on your cars? Because I always tell kids and adults, when you call in, you got to talk about the sponsors.
Yeah, well, Grip Vision is a company that helps out a lot. Matt Sweeney, Special Effects. We have Gary Howard, the legend Gary Howard, building the motors with your Shark, the original Shark racing engines.
Wow.
And, you know, Justice Brothers helps out with fuel. And there's a, you know, there's a few other people. Oh, yeah, Schroeder, Gary Schroeder from Schroeder Torsion Bars. He helps out a big deal on that.
There you go.
So it's a... And it's a good deal. Everybody's
and friends,
doing really
and,
well to me.
And friends and family. Don't forget friends and family.
Yeah, that's we have a great pit crew. I have tons of people helping me. It's they enjoy it. They do it for free. So, you know, I try to, you know, I thank them every night for that, for sure.
You're the man. All right, buddy. Hey, I'll let you go. Thank you very much for taking time out of your Sunday, and I look forward to chatting with you down the road, and I'll try to get up at the next race.
It's a pleasure, Dave. Thanks for your time, too.
My pleasure. All right, folks, we're going to take a small break. One more segment, then Gun Sports Radio. Right here on KCBQ AM 1170, we are The Answer.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to SD Motorsports, KCBQ AM 1170. We are The Answer. The segment's brought to you by Certified Car Care, located out there in lovely Santee, right down the street from the drive-in. You can't miss it. Just look for a Certified Car Clinic. It has got the Dino House inside. Be more than happy to hook you up for a discount. Just tell them you heard it right here on KCBQ, especially if you're building an engine or working on a project, you need a good solid baseline, that's the way to go. You definitely need to hook up with these guys. All righty. Boy, what a great show this has been so far. Well, Gun Sports Radio is coming right up next, so you definitely, definitely want to stay on top of that. Well, it looks like I just got a report from my good friend Lachelle, and it looks like the dominant season lands the IMSA Sports Car Championship title for Billy Johnson, Scott Maxwell, and the Ford Shelby GT 350 RC. Ford Shelby GT 350 R has earned 6 race wins and 6 poles en route to its first racing championship. Can you believe that? Let's hear it for the GT 350 R. Now, I did get to drive the GT 350 R at, I think that was Button Willow. And let me tell you what, folks, they did so many good things to that car that I'm, as far as I'm concerned, it is top of the heap in that segment between Camaro, Challenger, and Mustang. This GT350 is a bomb. The team clinched 3 Continental Tire Sports Car Challenges titles on Friday. The drivers, team, and manufacturer, they whacked all 3. Can you believe that? Needless to say, Ford executives will accept the manufacturing trophy at the banquet after the race. But let me tell you what, Ford GT350, like I said, just did an outstanding job. Thanks to drivers Billy Johnson, Scott Maxwell. They literally ran the table at the final race weekend at Road Atlanta. Earning their, like I said, their 6th win, and their number 15 white Ford Shelby GT350 R-C And actually, they stayed on, started on the pole. So the GT350 was an immediate success. And I can tell you that the attention to detail for a race car was definitely applied to this vehicle, right down to literally forming the underbody of the car's plastic shields to where air was directed to pertinent areas of the car, like the brakes, the calipers. The calipers themselves are mounted in a way that nobody else mounts them from the bottom up. Everybody else goes from the side in. No, Ford did this to keep the brakes in better condition. They last longer, and they actually do a better job. We really want to just like a big hats off to Ford Motor Company and their ability to just knock it out of the park. God, that was just, I think I have this actually taped. Hopefully I'll be able to go home and take a peek at it and see how well it worked out. Ducati's Chaz Davis, he repeated his Saturday performance by winning the second World Superbike race at Magny Cours. He beat out Kawasaki duo Jonathan Rea and Tom Sykes. Guess here for Ducati. We call that duck hunting. Spending the first half of the race in third, Davies just took advantage of a deep overtake attempt from Rea and Sykes to sneak past both of them. And despite leading off the line, Rea was overtaken by both Sykes and Davies at the hairpin on the opening lap, and the former leading the way. The trio quickly pulled away from the rest of the field. Sykes soon separated himself as the sole leader, but Davies started to hold up Rea, and the reigning champion made a move on the Ducati rider. He then quickly closed the gap to leader Sykes, but as Rea did not risk an overtake attempt, Davies managed to rejoin the leader, and after running in an unchanged order for several laps, Rea finally went alongside Sykes at the hairpin, but he went too deep, allowing Davies to pass both for the win. That must have been awesome. So, let's see. What do we got? IndyCar. Now, I don't know if you heard about this, but it looks like Jay Fry was saying that there is an ongoing quest for a third automobile manufacturer in the Verizon IndyCar series. This could lead to a change of engine specifications within 3 to 4 years. Right now, the 2.2-liter 134 cubic inch V6 twin turbo engine currently specified by IndyCar was introduced along with the Dallara DW12 for the start of the 2012 season, and it hasn't changed a lot since. However, there have been two sides to the argument about whether retaining that specification would increase or decrease the appeal of IndyCar to a third OEM original equipment manufacturer alongside Honda and Chevrolet. Who would it be? Who would come in? I think Infiniti, but my opinion. Some believe that the 5-year head start by HDP and Lemoore with the current engines could intimidate potential participants from joining the series. Other notables, Chevrolet Mark Kent believes that a small capacity direct injection turbocharged engine spec is highly relevant to all the mainstream car brands and therefore makes the series more appealing. Now, Fry, he's the IndyCar president of competition and operations, told Motorsports.com, Chevy and Honda are phenomenal partners and have been very active and involved in everything we've been doing to date. So they're very aware of how this plan would work, and they recognize how helpful it would be to themselves and to the Verizon IndyCar series to have another OEM involved. Who would that be? I think it would be Infiniti. I just said that, but let's see if they say that. There are certain deadlines and dates we're targeting that once they are set in stone, that would allow everyone to know what is happening next. The engine formula won't change in 2017 or 18, but maybe the first opportunity for change would be 2019, 2010, or 2020, which kind of makes sense. And obviously, part of the reason that they will set dates for that kind of engine change is to be of interest to a new OEM to have them, you know, come on board with a time frame they can work with. The first thing is to get them excited, and then the rest is writing a check. The second task is to show a new manufacturer how, if they commit, that they'd have input on direct regarding the engine formula like Chevy and Honda do. There is a positive side to that. I mean, there is a positive side, because what that amounts to is it's R&D. You know, you've heard me talk about R&D forever and ever and ever, but that's what it is. It's R&D. And when you're doing R&D like that, then, you know, it's just nobody, nobody can get anything out of a car or truck or anything without R&D. It's just that simple. A little tidbit, Eric Jones, he's our up-and-coming Xfinity driver. He didn't have the outing he expected at Dover. The NASCAR race was running while I left, so I don't know what the results are. But Jones had scored 4 wins this season. I mean, this guy just rocking it. And that included Dover in May. But he finished 16th in last Sunday's Xfinity Series race as the Chase standings line up. And by now, Jones is 4 points outside of the top 8 drivers, and that would transfer him to the next round. Jones described his performance as embarrassing. He says, just unfortunate, Jones says, something I would have never saw coming. But you know what? That's what racing is all about. There's nothing you can say or do about it. Well, the series is coming down to an end. NASCAR, Indy, all of them, it'll be getting close. Everybody's got a chase. Everybody's got some type of a competition that they're all going to be striving for to see who can do the best of the best of the best. So if you're an enthusiast or a sports fan, you're going to love it, I think, personally. And before I forget, I do want to throw out one more time the San Diego AutoRepairCare.com folks. That's a NAPA group of NAPA Auto Care shops all over San Diego County. Between yesterday and November 30th, they have put together a vehicle that is a Saturn a minivan. And what they have done is they've put this thing together, completely refurbished it. And in doing so, they are now, it's a 2005 Saturn Relay minivan, 6-cylinder, air, DVD, leather, rear air seat, CD player, all fixed up, ready to go for some family. And all you have to do is nominate somebody. It could be a family member. It could be a relative. It could be somebody in your church, somebody at school, somebody at work that's in dire need of a minivan. So all you have to do is just go to SanDiegoAutoRepairCare.com, download the application, fill it out, send it in, and who knows? You could have a winner on your hands. This is not the first time NAPA has done this. I mean, NAPA is really good about giving back, and this is just one of their ways. And this is just a group of auto care centers in town that belong to the San Diego AutoRepairCare.com website. You can go check it out. You can see all the different stores, where they're located, and go, you know, like I said, and if you do decide to participate and you want to help somebody win a really nice vehicle, it doesn't hurt to go back and you know, trade business with these people, because, I mean, that's why they do this. They do it to give back, and hopefully you'll give back to them. So SanDiegoAutoRepairCare.com. That's SanDiegoAutoRepairCare.com. All right. Gun Sports Radio coming up next. Lance Pelkey is in the wings. Michael Schwartz is on location along with Joe Holyfield. But we do have some more folks in studio that we'll be bringing to you. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned for the only gun show, positive gun show in California, right here on KCBQ AM 1170. Hoo-hoo, we are the answer.
SD Motorsports on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Love Radio Network.